We're as fanatic about that as people are about football. Yeah. Where I live, they packed 70,000 in that stadium over there at Norman and run out of ice in the town of Norman, and six or seven of them fainted, and they laid them in the shade of the trees outside of the stadium and went right on with the football game. And they do worse than we do when they start winning. They just hoop and holler until they get to laryngitis and have to go to the doctor and have their throats treated. Come on. Yeah. Oh, you said those folks act so crazy. No, we don't act near as crazy as they do with that football game over chasing a little old pigskin filled with air from one end of the field to the other. Amen. Amen. It's not out of the ordinary to worship the Lord. We believe in God Almighty that made the world, made everybody that's in it. We think it's right to worship Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got a fellow down in our country from Yukon, Oklahoma that's making a hit singing with his cousin and stuff. And they stand in line for hours and hours and hours to get a ticket so they can buy a ticket. Never heard of it down there. Line up for hours and hours to get this ticket so they can buy a ticket to Brooks's concert down there. I won't try to preach tonight, but I will. Lord God, have mercy. You have mercy. I wasn't called to go out and try to act like a woman. Yeah. And take the Buck Eggers and quit because it didn't have a big crowd. Glory to God. Oh, good, hallelujah. You have mercy. Have mercy. Stand in line for hours. Sleep on the lawn. You'd hear that fellow saying them cuss words. I'll try to talk to you while I may be missing it. If I am, that's the way I do when I miss it. It ain't your fault. I just always hate to hear a preacher whine around and say, if they'd have said amen, I could have made it. Well, God have mercy. If they'd have backed me, I'd have went over. I doubt it. I doubt it. Amen. Lord, give me something I can do. You ever sing it? Lord, give me something I can do. And if I fail to do it, and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. You ain't gonna blame nobody to judgment. You can blame mom and daddy and everybody else here, but when you face God Almighty, you won't be able to blame nobody but yourself. Amen. Children, we need the Lord tonight. From the book of 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 1st verse, I will not come up to the good preaching we had today. No way. We're not in the contest. We ain't worried about it. But I mean, I'm saying that, say we had some real good preaching here today. Amen. All right. But there were false prophets also among the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Even though there shall be false teachers among you who shall privately, and that's the way the devil likes to work, privately, behind your back. Before you know it. I've never told Beatrice about them two big old snakes down at the house. One is 6 foot long and the other's a little over 5. I had my picture made with them, holding them after I'd killed them. Put snake handler around the bottom of it and sent it to my son-in-law. I'm afraid he's got it out on me now in Georgia that I'm a snake handler. Privately. He's a slick, slimy private thing, slips around. Somebody said since I've been in here that preached on creeping things. I never did know anybody else done that but me, but I'm sure they got just much right to as I have. Years ago, the Lord gave me a message on creeping things. Creep in the house, as the Bible said. Creep in, slip in, get in like the mice did and the spiders did and the snakes do. I never told her about that. Them snakes sneaking in privately down at the house. Gerald and I went up in the attic to put in our air conditioning, and I found a big old snake hides where they'd shed them 5 feet long. I tell B, she just now finding out about that up in the attic. And I put them snake hides in my pocket. Did you ever carry a snake hide in your pocket? It'll crawl right out on you. You wiggle a little and that thing will just work out. I never knew that I'd have that much. 6 inches of it hanging out of my pocket walking around and didn't know it. And I'd look down and see, grab it and try to stick the thing back in there trying to get outside so she wouldn't know it. False prophets going to be around in the end time, and they will privately bring in damnable heresies. Ooh, I just can't understand our thinking in America. You cannot even offer prayer at the graduation service now at the schoolhouse. But the geographic is still trying to convince me that my ancestors walked about like this and drug their knuckles, and then as the hundreds and thousands of years went by, they straightened up a little, and as they went by, they straightened up a little further, and after a while, they become a man. Did you ever see a silly gorilla or ape or orangutan act like it had any more than the sense of a gorilla or orangutan? Can't get the silly thing, Stephen, wave at me. You can get near anybody to do that. Privately, they bring in their own silly beliefs that won't hold water and try to put it down our throats. But those privately things, those privately, they bring in them, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. I just got my mind on them sneaking snakes. They crawled through a couple of holes up under my eave, and they got in the attic and lived up there on our mice that we had. That's the reason we ran out of them. I wondered why we didn't have any more mice around that house. We'd always caught a few mice on the back porch. We live in the country. And they come in and wonder if they can get in. But you know, I was in the house one day, and I heard a noise outside. We had a window, air conditioning window. And there's a bird built a nest right in a little tree right next to the house. And them big snakes had got all of me and Gerald. They wanted up there, I think, me before he got there. But I seen where they had big holes in the insulation where they'd slid in there, you know. I couldn't tell her because I know she wouldn't stay there if them snakes were there. But I heard boom, boom, boom outside. I said, what is that? And I wouldn't tell her what I thought it was. I went outside and I checked the nest. And sure enough, the eggs were gone and the limb was kind of hanging down. And whatever it was, it swallowed them eggs out of the nest. I squatted down and looked under the window air conditioner, and there's a big old snake looked right at me. I said, if I had the nerve of my Uncle Leonard and you was down out there and I could grab you by the tail, I'd do you like he done them. He could just take them around, around and whoop them like that and snap their heads right off. Leonard would do that. That's Leonard Moore. He'd do that. But that thing looked at me, and I looked at him, and I went and got my gun and shot him. And you know, when I shot him, another one stuck its head out, and I shot it. One of them 6 foot long, another one five and a half. They're gone, B. I plugged the holes up before they come out. No fear. Have no fear. But I don't have company to get on except privately. That's the way the devil's always worked. I'm not a devil. Not me. This ain't the devil. I had a friend got the devil possessed. I don't know where the devils have all gone to. Jesus used to cast them out. We did too when I first started. But I don't know where they went to. You can't hardly meet nobody's devil possessed. If you tell them all, folks get mad at you. Well, ain't nothing wrong with them. They just have funny actions and funny ways. Devilish ways and devilish actions. He's the devil cast out of them.
Yeah. Amen.
Big old lying devils. I ain't no devil. I had a friend cast a devil out of a feller, and he went and prayed for him a while. He said, that'll be enough praying now. That's enough praying. Shut down on the praying. We've had all the praying we need. That's enough. I don't know what that was. That preacher did too. He said, you lying devil, come out of this man. That fellow grabbed a glass of water and tried to ram it down the preacher's face, and that old preacher just rode him like a horse clear across the room. It looked like a terrible fight was on. Casting the devil out of him all the way across there. Cast the devil out and he fell like a dead man. When he come to, he said, oh, brother, am I ever glad you come. So that thing had me so bad I had no control of it whatsoever. You know, just like a woman grabbing her husband by the head and try to pull all his hair out. You know, that's the devil. I don't have to cut me on this. That ain't even my message at all. I don't think I'm about to miss the message. But false teachers will come in who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's a quick way to get killed. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Just gobs of text here. Numbers of them if you're looking for them. Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not, is not asleep. I may preach on that someday. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, and bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, and overthrew them, making them an end sample unto those that after should live ungodly. Take a lesson in saying, if you live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I want to deal with one word just a while. I hope I don't worry you. I get worried at my preaching. Vexed. That's what. You know what that word means? It means to agitate, to annoy, to trouble grievously. He was vexed from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now I'm just going to talk to us that's here tonight for a little while about this word vexed. I am vexed myself at the filthy conversation of the wicked.
Come on, brother.
Now the word hell is a curse word according to the dictionary, Ralph. Now the word hell in the dictionary yet tells us it's a place of undeparted souls according to the Bible. But when you use it other ways, you are using a cuss word. And just Lot was vexed at the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word damn is a cuss word unless you are with the souls that are damned for all eternity. When you use it other ways, you're using a curse word. You could do like I did preaching in Oklahoma and say I saw a damn sight today, and I did. The Keystone Dam site, where they were going to build a Keystone Dam. I went out and looked at the dam site. But when I told the church I did, they all laughed. You didn't have nerve enough to, did you? There was no error in language. I said the right thing. But when you use that word in the way that our brave people that are on the radio and that print our newspapers and that are on our television, I don't have a television, no, but that are on the television, they seem to think it's macho when they kind of broadcast something and say, well, we had a so-and-so of a time, and they use the word hell. That is a curse word. And they don't mind dumping it on your children at the schoolhouse, in your daily papers, on the radio. My soul is vexed about it. Amen. My soul is vexed like this brother's was at the immodest dress we have. Now, I know you say, well, them holiness preachers does that. Yes, they do. But I don't think it's fair. I was in a business the other day, and I used to have a business. Used to run a business. I run more than one. But you know what? If a boy to come in my business with the rear end of his trousers tore out like that fellow's was, showing his underwear through them big holes that long and that wide, I'd have said, you chase your chassis out of here, and don't you ever bring it back in here again unless you have some clothes on it. This is my business, and I don't need your business till you straighten your business up. Vexed. I don't know what's happened to our Christian world. All the pencils is broke or they run out of stamps or something. Why don't you call your senator, write your senator, and object? Go to your schoolhouse and object. We tried to put a dress code down in Oklahoma in our schools. It failed. It's going to make them all wear clothing similar to Christian or religious schools closed because they was having whippings and robbings and knivings and killings and everything else over them dress code down there. The gangs wore certain kinds of clothes, and they advised you not to buy yourself any if you went to school and wear them, because they'd mob you outside the schoolhouse and knock you down the hall and take that jacket away from you, because it's the kind they wore. May God have mercy. When there's no way a girl can set without revealing her underclothes, we need to be vexed about that, stirred about that, annoyed about that, like this man was, and cry out against it and try to do something about it. I know, but who is? I must. Us preachers must. We must warn you that we're in the end time, and you should be stirred about it. This man's righteous soul was vexed from day to day. I'm going to talk to y'all. I hope I preach right. I should preach to the lost. I suppose that's what an evangelist ought to do every night. But somehow or another, Lord, I don't, maybe it's not the Lord, but somehow or another, I felt like the Lord dealt me about the word vexed tonight. And this man's righteous soul was vexed because of the evil that was all around. That filthy language got next to him. I've actually been around religious folks that talked about things that I wanted to tell them, hush, you've said enough about that. You don't need to talk. I hate to hear young people standing around talking about mothers-to-be. Our young men and our young women fully discussing wide openly who all it is that's with child and who all is going to have children. Children, what in the world are you trying to do? I hate to hear broadcasters get up and talk about every part of the human body and even name it and say, aren't you glad we're in a day when you can talk about anything? I'm not. Vexes me. My so-and-so is just a shining. Well, what are you telling the world about it for? We have folks that will use the word B-U-T anywhere in front of anybody and think it's all right to just roar out about their differential. I beg your pardon for being so plain, but this is what I'm vexed about, and I wonder if you are. No wonder our children on the road to hell, and a lot of our churches have no standard. They don't preach one, and our children don't have nothing to follow in a lot of places. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise His name. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise His name. Filthy. Did you hear the one about, who are you to tell the one about anybody? What are you, you're saved? And you're telling them old off-color jokes? In them old remarks that lead to nothing but evil thoughts. Come on, you're talking. Stand around talking to your young men that's going with your young girls and making remarks to them about the young girl, how she walks and what she looks like. I'm vexed about it. I think you ought to pray and seek God Get your conversation cleaned up. Clean it up. Object! Object to it! That righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day. I notice I'm vexed about a lot of things. I told you I was vexed about the brainwashing that's going on in the eating places in Walmart and down home several eating places, famous eating places. I walked into the grocery store to buy groceries where I bought for years, buried the man's father, buried his brother, walked in. I just went to see my sweetheart, and beer was all I wanted. Just like the Florida man, I couldn't find, remember where bread or milk I was in there after. I mean, I got vexed about it. I went around through the store like a man is angry. I said, this beats all I've ever heard. What in the world do we need any of this honky-tonk slap-me-down daddy music here to buy a loaf of bread for? But you know what's the matter? Ain't enough folks vexed about it. Folks out in California got vexed. They give us billions of dollars of expense to rebuild what they tore up just because they got vexed. I don't want you to turn nothing up, but it's time somebody heard from you.
All right now.
Tell your school teacher. One of our saints went up to school and told the teacher, said, I don't want my girl in there kicking her legs up in there with no clothes on hardly, where you call it exercising, you know, and educational therapy, and I don't know what all to call it, but this strip me down kicking's all it is, you know. We got plenty of exercise when I was raised. We didn't die. Mom and Daddy wasn't even sinners, but Lord God have mercy. If I'd have walked in the house with a bathing suit on, I'd have walked out a few stripes with the bathing suit on and went and had to go take it off. But nowadays, that's old fogism. It ain't old fogism when you read the statistics on adultery and fornication and out of wedlock babies. It's not a bunch of silly stuff I'm talking about. And now stay with me, you that don't believe in abortion. I am not a man that believes in abortion.
Say it again.
But if we don't tighten up the rules and get a little vexed about supporting these unwed women, it's not anything that Ann or her sister will talk about now. If some woman writes to say, I have a desire to give birth to a child with my boyfriend, and we've been living together a long while, or we ain't even getting married, I just like to raise a child. Well, what kind of a shape under heaven is anybody in that needs to raise a child that won't even marry? What kind of an army are we going to have after a while? What are they going to be fighting for after a while? They left the hills of Virginia and the hills of Oklahoma, and I stood as a young preacher and preached for $1.50 a week and $3 a week when God delivered me from the army to preach to the people. That's what I asked him. If you want me to preach instead of go, I'll preach. If you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want. He delivered me, and I preached it, Ralph, all during the war. I pled with our boys before they went, and they prayed with me and got saved. They went away. Daddy's standing by the old bus at Blanchard and Mama. The old boy looking out through the window. Mama said, ooh, she fainted. She couldn't take it going across the sea. Old Dad Farmer grabbed her and held her. Dad tear had run off his face. He looked through the window at the boy. He couldn't get back off. He had to go. He fought there for Dad and Mama. He fought for sister at home. He sat in that lonely foxhole and said, we never miss friends till they're far away. Then we remember some happy bygone day. Sat in the foxhole and wrote that. When C.D. got out there on the battlefield, he fought like Arthur did till his arms was burnt by enemy fire. And stood and stood and stood like Stonewall did. He had families at home and babies at home and virtuous women at home and stayed and waited. Star didn't get in the eye. The moon didn't break the heart. They stayed till the boys come back to the hills of Virginia. If they have to go tonight, a lot of them won't feel like they got a thing to fight for.
Come on!
It's not the foreign nation that's ruined us. We've shot ourselves in the foot with our filthy, ungodly television junk. It's pouring out the awful stuff that promotes crime and adultery and fornication. That's what it does. I know some fellow just say things because others said it, and I appreciate other brother, but I'm saying it because it's bedrock facts, and statistics prove it on us. May God help us. In the 20th century, toward the end of it, statistics say we'll be spending $42 billion a year for cigarettes, and it killed more than six times as many as the Vietnam War did annually. They killed that many, and that's the digest, the 7 months of 92. Your digest said that. Amen. The very idea of anybody being bold enough to tell a preacher, you shouldn't preach against tobacco. It might be offensive. Well, if it kills folks, that's bad, ain't it? I don't know why anybody would want to stop a man from preaching against things that kills people. I'm vexed! Wayne McLaren died today, 51 years old, the Marlboro cigarette ad man. Died of lung cancer, 7/24/92. Paul Harvey told that. Yeah. You seen him, didn't you, on that horse riding through the Colorado Rockies with that cigarette in his mouth? You seen him a lot of times. The Marlboro man. You know what he died with? Lung cancer. You know how old he was? 51. I'm vexed myself. You put poison out in bottles and write poison all over it and tell folks take three teaspoons a day regularly, why, you will get thrown in a jailhouse. Nothing no more poison than cigarettes. Right. Amen. Right. 3-2 beer will make you stay drunk longer than vodka will. You got to drink more of it. That's the reason they don't put any more alcohol in it to do it at a time, so you drink 40 gallons of it. I mean, that's an exact fact. But did you know what the hypocritical, devilish beer industry does now? It says, know when to quit. Well, that's before you start. There's not an alcoholic, but what I'll tell you, he didn't start drinking 4 gallons a day. He just started having a friendly beer with folks and kept on, and after a while he couldn't get loose from it. Vexed! Now, they put it in bottles that look just like a beer bottle, and your children want it. It's not beer, it's just cold, but it, after a while, it'll have its effect. They reach for that other bottle. I hope you don't get mad, but I already am. Vexed, annoyed, disturbed, and troubled about the day we're in and the condition we've got ourselves into.
Come on, Brother Moore.
Passing laws against every good and right thing until we're not going to have any defense in our judicial system to stand up for us for the right.
Right.
Just the wrong, just the evil.
Right.
That's what's happening to us. Listen to me, sir. You sell beer at your grocery store. May God have mercy upon your soul. Now, you know what that hits you so hard for? Because that's what we have to do to make a living. We didn't have to build roads out of revenue off of booze. God would have helped us build roads without that. But since we've done it so long, we think there ain't no other way to do it. It's like going into debt more and more. Our grandpa's taught us to live on what we made and pay our debt. Our government tells us to go ahead and spend and put more and more tax on us. And we're trillions and trillions in the red and never will be able to pay out. That's poor judgment. Never solve nothing for us. Only get us in deeper. Anybody running for office tell you you're going to lower taxes and means it, and going, why don't you flood Congress with letters and calls and demand your representative to balance the budget on the tax they're taking in now and not raise one more penny, but balance the budget on it. First thing to do to help balance it is Cut all the crooks out that couldn't balance their checkbook. That's all of Nellie's lawyers. And couldn't balance it. I just happened to write $30,000 too much. David, you tell me that. I'd say, hush up, dummy, and let me talk to you about money. How many pennies is in a dollar and how much it takes to pay a certain amount of money. Well, I just slipped up. I see now I wrote $20,000 worth of bad checks. Forgive me, folks. Put me back in. We'll straighten this thing out. We need to put you in somewhere so we can straighten out. Yeah, but they was a Republican of our state. I beg your pardon, sir. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican or call itself a house cat. Anybody supposed to be educated with how much sense in that needs to be out of there. I'm not a politician. I'm a soul's vexed because of filthy conversation of the wicked. Everywhere you go, stand up for God a little. Don't be afraid to holler, hallelujah to God. See what it does to them. That's my heart. Glory to God. A good way to start balancing the budget is to cut them fellows that raise them sales, making $120,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, big expense account, cut them down to about $60,000 a year, which is a pretty good salary. Start there. We can save millions and millions and millions right there. What in the world is the sense of paying a General Motors rep or Chrysler rep $4 or $5 million a year? Well, I'm preaching, Joe Bill. We're going to try to help America where we live, and if we don't start using a little bit of sense with our salaries, but the Bible said we'd be lovers of pleasures. Well, Brother Moore, I don't know where we are or not. Did you read? We're paying baseball players $3 million a year, some of them, to do what Babe Ruth would do for nothing. I'm vexed about it. You hard-working boys can't make, like me, $12,000, $15,000, $10,000, $8,000 a year. Somebody sitting up there on a... Some of our boys that retired from the federal government are making more money than ever did when they work, make over $1 million a year with pension. And we have to go ask them how to help run the government, those that retired. We're still depending on their mentality. What we need is a corn raiser from Richland, Virginia, a coal miner from the mines of Virginia that can count to 100 and send him up there to do just as good or better. Best way to get in office, use all the shenanigans you can, buy all the TV and radio time you can, and deceive the people, tell every rotten lie you can tell just before election day, so the fellow you told against ain't got time to prove it's not true, and try to win. But that's not right. Prosecute our people and throw them in the jailhouse. IRS confiscate everything you got and put you up because you owe $100, $200, $300 and let them hot check riders run foot loose and fancy free and you can't find nobody to prosecute them. Did y'all looking so quiet? And I know you're listening good. Though that is wonderful. Did you ever hear anything like the SNL? Did you ever hear of that deal, SNL deal? Well, look now, what I want to know is if there's billions gone and we've got to pay it in our tax money, who we could... Ain't there some... Where's the FBI? Did y'all ever hear of the FBI? Well, can't they find nobody that stole all that money? Who got all that money? Yeah. If I run out of here with $500 from one of your banks and sold it, they'd have me stop Joe Bill before I got out of state and wrestle me back in here and say, that crooked preacher stole. Well, where'd all that SNL money go to? Come on. Oh, I'm going to get hurt maybe. I don't know. But I know the preacher. I know the president's boy gave $50,000 to a deal the other day. I don't near pay what he got off with. He ain't. That's what the paper said. God bless that mother. She's with me. I know it. Evil. Running hog wild. You ever drop anything while he's preaching? Get embarrassing. July 92, Reader Digest. To her parents, she was a dream. Doing well in school. Dating a boy they approved of. Planning on a law career. At night, she left freshly baked cookies for her father to find when he returned from work. on December 8, 1990, the eve of Katie's 16th birthday. Her friends drove her to a nearby house to hear a local band. Watch that stuff now. During the party, someone passed her a pint of 48-proof peach schnapps. I never heard of it. S-C-H-N-A-P-P-S. I don't know what that is. White lightning, I reckon. But anyhow, a pastor. Now, watch the devil work. He'll get in where your little girl is supposed to go and meet with the young folk and have a good time. Some of us have already made some trips to the hospital over some of that devilish stuff that I'm vexed at. Someone passed her 48-proof drink. No one is sure how much she drank, but according to the Polish record, it might have been half a bottle. Poor thing, didn't know nothing about how to hold her liquor. You know what they say you're supposed to do? How many young people we got here under 21? Don't y'all listen good to me, because old folks may get mad. Don't you lead away the altar tonight, too. But listen here. Do you know what they tell you you should do when you have a party? Designate somebody that don't drink to drive you home. Because you ain't going to be able to get out with that puke all over your dress and stinks so bad you can't get to your room. Did you ever, anybody ever be a drunk? Don't think I'm trying to trap you. I don't do it. How many men here used to be a drunkard or drank booze bad? Now, don't be ashamed. If God saved you, there's one. I remember him. I love that fellow. Look here. Here's others over here. Look at him. Now, you boys that used to drink like that, my daddy was in the hospital 6 months over it, so don't think I'm trying. But did you boys ever designate a fellow that don't drink? Now, who's he driving home? It's loaded drunks. Oh, but they'll get in a wall-eyed fist fight in the front seat and the back seat and flip that thing down the mountain. And that old boy said, get back, boys. Get back. You're going to wreck the car. I'm trying to get you home. The beer industry in my country and on your radios tell you to designate a driver and let them drive you home. It's hard to say. And they say it is with their ungodly, devilish, hypocritical ads. But tell your friend he's drunk and give you the keys. Did you ever try to wrestle the keys away from a drunk? No, sir, you're getting these keys out of the car. I don't know how to drive a car. You can't get these keys from me. And you can't. He'll wallow you offside the mountain. You'll both wind up in the creek. And you're saying, oh, Robert, be still, Robert. I'm trying to have you. And you tell me you're trying to steal my car keys. Oh, Brother Moore, you're just being funny. No, I'm telling you how crazy that ad is. It's a playing over your radio and pouring down your children's ears. It vexes me. Get you somebody sober at the party. If there's anybody there sober at one of them drunken parties, their brain is off. They'll be just as dangerous as if they drank, because they wouldn't have been there and stayed sober. Later that night, Katie's friend, 92, July, Reader Digest. Later that night, Katie's friend, Marty Bunker, gave her a fifth of 100-proof vodka. You don't know how to drink, she told her. He told her, you have to drink a lot so it won't burn. If you ever drank any booze, don't drink it. Don't be tempted. Don't touch it. Yeah. I worked where they bootlegged it. Same men shooting dice when I went back next morning, shooting the left. I don't know what it was. Glass flying, fighting each other. And you know what? The stuff tastes rotten. The man I worked for lost his business, lost his wife, lost his children over it. Finally lost two legs over it, below the knee. That's right, Pete Miller. I seen Pete after he got on that a while in the morning, take a drink of it. Run outside and puke it. He drank quite a lot then, a long time, been on a good while. He'd go back inside. Go. Third time. You prayed a little bit and didn't get nowhere, man. Be as bold as that old drunkard was. Just hang in there and battle. Hey, he'd finally get one down and he'd say, oh, that's good. Seen him do it. Destroyed his business. Destroyed his home. Killed his wife. It killed her. She worked herself to death. Skin and bone, took the TV and died. Little boys were scattered from him. Went to California, went on the water wagon for 6 months. Went back on booze. Had a wreck, lost his leg below the knee. Got off of it. Stayed off of it. Went on it again. Would you believe he had another car wreck? He didn't have nothing wrong with his veins. He just ripped this leg so bad, had to take it off. He quit drinking. Riding around a wheelchair now. Can't fit him with no legs. The only story I can tell you is booze. Booze, booze. Let them call you, sissy boy. Let them call you, sissy. Girl, listen, girl. Katie come home, sent my conscience. Her father was astonished. As far as he knew, his daughter had never even drank before. He didn't know, Dad didn't know what in the world to think about it. Here's Katie in this shape, and she'd never drank before. Come home like this, and they took Katie up to her room, and when her father tried to wake her up several hours later, her body was cold. Frantic, he tried mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but it was too late. Katie had died. Doctors say alcohol had raced through her bloodstream, reached her brain, shut down the centers that controlled breathing and the heart rate. Get started, Mama! Get vexed, Daddy! Check on where your girl's going to a party. I don't care if she is 16. Check on where your boy's going to a party. Now, I don't know what kind of daddy you are, and I'm not knocking you, son. But I'm going to tell you, if my daddy had walked down where I was at and said, Lester, get home. You know what Lester's done? Got home. I mean, Ralph, I'd have got home. He could pick me up in one hand. My daddy was stout. He would have done it. You know, he'd say, I whipped the britches off of him. I thought they was off of him a time or two, and he got through. They wasn't, but the way he got through with me, he said he'd whip them off. I thought they was off. I mean, he put it. Did Grant ever whip you?
I thought he did.
I want to tell you, Grant, we ought to be vexed at what's going on in our school systems and around our country. Our police force ought to be vexed about it.
Come on, brother.
Go down there and check on them. Go down there and find out what's going on. There's always some smart aleck. He ain't got his trousers on, Harley. He thinks he can tell your children what to do. But he's not the one up there paying the bill at the hospital when they're checking that brain to see if it got that bone into that brain and trying to get your child well. You up there. Get stirred up a little about it. Some 4.6 million teenagers may be problem drinkers. The University of Michigan's Institute of Social Research. More than half are current users. 70% of eighth grades have tried alcohol. Boys drank more than girls because girls are smaller and may metabolize alcohol differently. It takes less liquor to affect them because girls often prefer sweet concoctions such as wine coolers. They may now realize how much they have may not realize how much they have consumed. That devilish world out there that I'm vexed at has got every kind of a trick and trap in the world to induce or to seduce your children to drink that old rotten stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. The fatal message reached even the nicest kids. These kids' pictures in here. Mark Heyer, a valedictorian at his high school, had a good freshman year as an engineering student in a certain institution in Troy, New York. His grades started slipping, however, when he got caught in the booze whirl of the fraternity life. On March 3rd, 1989, Mark and two of his friends left I don't know what this is. It says F-R-A-T. What's that? A fraternity? Is that what that stands for? It's F-R-A-T. Who? Young people, what is it? All right. It just got a short for it here. A frat beer bash party in town. See, you're not popular if you don't drink that stinking stuff. And with the driver who had been drinking earlier at the wheel, the car crashed into the pole, killing Mark and the other passenger. Just killed him like that. Janelle Henry, a young girl, Janelle, of Bristol, Connecticut, was 12 when she started sipping from bottles in her parents' liquor cabinet. In her parents' liquor cabinet. Isn't that pitiful? That's as bad as Elvis's liquor cabinet he had in his big old airplane. B.
big old airplanes, the gold bathroom fixtures and a full bedroom here and a big dining table and a big liquor cabinet in the corner. That's the reason in the night sometime he would call his pilot for that big old jet. And I heard the pilot say, Elvis called one night about 1:30, said, "How quick can you get the big jet ready?" Not the little one, his little one, the big one. He said, "Well, take a little while, Elvis. Get it ready. Where are we going?" Well, he said, "We're going up to Denver, Colorado, from Memphis." And he said it wasn't out of the ordinary for Elvis to do this, and had a bunch of friends with him, and they was having a party kind of, and Elvis got to thinking about something, and they loaded up and went to Denver, Colorado from Memphis, Tennessee, and landed in the airport, and a big black limousine come out and come in with a box of something in it and passed them out peanut butter sandwiches. I don't know how many $1,000s he spent that night to haul his friends to Dayton, Denver, Colorado, because in their boozing, he got to thinking of some good peanut butter sandwiches he'd eat up there, and they called ahead and got them made and delivered them out to the airport and put them on a plane and ate them, and they flew them back home and landed them. That's what the pilot said. I heard him say it. Becoming famous and fellowshipping famous people does not mean you will not get your brains knocked out or you will not be a fool and wind up in the pen the rest of your life. I am vexed at what's happening in our country. And I think if us Christian people don't voice our opinion against it and talk against it and stand up against it and talk to our children about it. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to you. Are you training to jump out of airplanes or something? I seen a fellow with a pair of britches on the other day, real little, you can't hardly get your feet through them, and blooming out like here. I don't know what he's fixing to do. There's no appearance to it. Look like his legs is that fat right through here. They go out like that. Now, Brother Moore, you have... I know. Don't say anything. Let them copycat everybody. I walked in to a McDonald's while back and seen that black boy that's such a famous singer. What is his name? I can't think of it. I'm trying to think of it. Michael Jackson. I said, "There he sits right there. That's Michael Jackson." No, I said he wouldn't be in a McDonald's. But that old boy liked Michael's hairdo so well till he was a splitting image of Michael Jackson. I'm going to tell you, girl, before I try to imitate one of them women, if I was you, it's been married about 8 times. Yeah. Don't ask me who I'm talking about, or I'll tell you. Before I try to fix my hair, or paint my face like her, or walk like her, or dress like her, praise God, I'd get a gunny sack and drag around with it. I would, before I'd try to copycat them harlots that's wrecking our people by the millions. Even our modern-day psychiatrists and psychologists advising folks to leave their mate, even preachers are remarrying them down in Oklahoma. Used to, if you had over one living companion, you couldn't carry God's gospel. You could not preach the divine holy word of God. You weren't qualified to do it. No, I'm not trying to settle all marriage issues here. I'm talking to the presbytery, the folks that's supposed to be an example. They are upholding live-ins and live-outs and love-ins and love-outs and no condemnation whatsoever pointed at it. They will make no remark against a woman that's had 2 or 3 children out of wedlock and been on our welfare system ever so long. They will never condemn her, and in court they won't let you talk against that. Amen. What's went wrong? Truth has fell in the streets. And folks don't stand up for it. It's a wicked, devilish time we're in. Wayne Ray, are you here? It's a wicked, devilish time we're in when a man can deliver the divorce papers to a young lady at her mother's funeral, the day of her funeral. And him a policeman. And he's went higher than that since then. I'm I'm just not attacking individuals. I'm saying there's a big letdown. We're in the end time, and what are we going to do? Let's be vexed like this man was just before the judgment fell. Let's be stirred about it and try to do something about it. You ain't going to tell me how to dress. I know it. Well, I'm talking to you anyway. Amen. It don't hurt to take a friend to drink. This boy was a fine boy. But they went to a beer bust. And when he had got caught in the boozy whirl of the fraternity life, I wouldn't have thought that was supposed to have been, but I'm finding out now lots of folks is going to college wanting to quit because it's a mess. And on March 3rd, 1989, Mark and two friends left a frat beer bash to party in town with the driver who had been drinking earlier at the wheel. A car crashed into the pole, killing Mark and the other passenger. Lord, Lord. Janelle Henry was 12 when she started sipping out of her mom and daddy's liquor cabinet. At 13, she was cutting classes to share a bottle with friends. Eventually, she drank whole pints by herself using alcohol as an escape. Frightened by her out-of-control life, turned to a school psychologist who persuaded her to tell her parents. Thank God for that. She went through the awful process of withdrawal and has been sober for 2 years. Hopefully, she says, forever. Just a few scattered thoughts tonight, and wanted to get your attention on this subject. Are you stirred? Is your soul vexed with what's going on? Now, don't get mad at me. If you do, get over it quick, because we still got more meeting to have, and we got great preachers to preach. But listen, I have been around the country, and it's time for another book burning. Amen. Like Paul had, a big burning. Amen. Oh, the one I'm talking about take blocks and blocks and blocks of it. You don't have to leave your local grocery store to pick you something right up by the cash register that is immoral, ungodly, and should not be in homes where children could read it. We're forcing things down them and putting things before them that's rotten to the core. There's nothing to it. I never saw the like of junk books in all my life. I'm not talking about good literature. I'm talking about just junk, no good books. They ain't fit to read. There's nothing to them. Full of as vulgar cuss words as you can read. Brought one home from school and had four-letter words in it that I wouldn't think about mentioning. I walked back up to school with, I said to the librarian, lady in charge, would you read these words to me? Her face turned red when she saw them. Mr. Moore, I didn't know that book was in the library. Well, I'm glad you blushed, I said. She said, it's out. It's out of the library. That's all it took to get that one book out of there. We need to object. Your little boy's experiment with pot, you're giving an unspoken request. What is that for? That's from a little boy. Have you talked to him about it? No, I'm just praying for God to help him. You better do like my daddy would have done. You better meet him. I have a friend that's unsaved that lives right down the road from me. His big old boy started smoking pot about a couple of years ago. Took him out in the barn with him. Big old teenager. He said, you've been smoking pot, ain't you? Why, no. What? Slapped the fire. Good to his boys. Ain't a neighbor I've got any better to his boys. There's not a neighbor I've got whose boys likes him any better than this sinful neighbor I've got down the road. No, sir. He's not saved, but he don't drink booze and he don't smoke pot. His boys pays their bills and got them jobs and working hard. He loves them. He takes them fishing. They love him. But you know what? He stopped that pot smoking. He slapped that old boy and his head rocked and he said, you're smoking pot. No, daddy slapped the other side the same way. Just dad and old boy in the barn. He wasn't going to kill him. Now he said, this is just the beginning. If you don't stop, I'm going to get you. I feared my daddy worse than a county sheriff. I was like Leon Farley was when the police arrested him in some pub, Oklahoma, and hauled him into the jailhouse and said, "Call your daddy, not me," he said. Well, he said, "Son, call your daddy." "You know Leon Farley." I said, "I'm not calling my daddy. Where do you want me to sleep?" He said, "Daddy done told me I'll help you any way I can when you get in a jam. But if you break the law and you get yourself arrested for it, don't call me. I won't be there." That old chief looked at Leon a while, and he said, tried it on again, and said, "Man, I'm telling you like it is. Tell me where to sleep." "Son," he said, "you reckon you'd quit cutting them wheelies if we turned you loose? You heard him tell that, Ralph." Well, they turned him loose. He quit. My simple little message tonight's not hard to understand. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's doing us millions and millions of dollars worth of damage in America. And our children are going down because of no morals and no examples at our schools and television. I used to be against it. I said used to be because I'm so hard on it now till I wasn't even hardly against it to start with, I don't reckon, to what I am now. Well, Brother Moore, what makes it, what my grandchildren tell me? And what statistics tell me? I'm gonna stop here in a minute. This could be more interesting, but I'm gonna stop here in a minute, but I'm gonna tell you something. The average child absorbs so much television till it's just horrible to think about. I'm looking for a little article here I want to read you about that. If I don't, it'll be all right. But television is wrecking, according to your Reader's Digest, it's wrecking homes and lives as fast as it possibly can. And you go to court and try to get that cursing off of it, that vulgarity out of it, and they'll cry freedom of speech. See? That's what I told our representative down home a while back. I said four-letter words on the radio, television, and newspaper is because of freedom of speech. Now I said, where does my freedom of speech rights come in? If I want to talk about God in the Bible and pray, where is my freedom of speech rights? They won't arrest them to cuss at the graduation or curse either. They won't arrest them. Amen. Yeah. Say a bad word or two. No. Our team is the best so-and-so team there is. They won't be arrested for that. Won't be reproved for it. Won't tell them they can't say it no more. I get up there and say, "Oh, God, help us get him." Well, where is my? If smoking does cause lung cancer, then why, pray tell, do they ever serve it where you eat food? Why eat lung cancer? We did object in Oklahoma City until they have some smoke-free hospitals now, completely smoke-free. Except for a few, one of them down Norman, you can smoke in the dining area. This half of it over here. Well, it just floats right over here. Where is my rights at? I don't think in the name of religion I have to say I have a right to protect my lungs from dying with lung cancer. And you hadn't ought to ever have any smoking in any business establishment anywhere. Hospitals, grocery stores, anywhere where food's at, you should not have smoking. But they will tell you immediately, "I'm standing up for my rights." Well, how about me? I went into a big sirloin stockade. The man owned six of them. I called him on the radio to start with, and he didn't have no smoking, the non-smoking area in this particular one. And I'd been in there, and I said, "Why don't you have a no-smoking area in this steakhouse?" Well, Well, it's strange how such a small minority can demand so much attention. And I said, you shouldn't have it in there where the food's at. It causes lung cancer. Well, I can't deny that now. Bless my heart, if I didn't go back a while back and they had established a great, giant, bigger than any part of it, no smoking area. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Oh, are you stirred? What killed your daughter? What killed your son? You can't all tell us. What killed your nephew? Huh? How come to have that fight? They just bitterly hated each other, been wanting to fight. No, they just got drinking. They would have fought if they hadn't got drink. You used to drink that old stuff. Couldn't even explain why you had that black eye and that scant nose. Would you like to get delivered tonight if you're bound by that? Listen, we'd like to help you. We want to get you loose from it. If that thing's got a hold of you, God can deliver you from it. If you're a young person, you've been easing around drinking a little of that till you make the crowd think you're macho, you'll be macho after a while. If you keep messing with that stuff. All right. Now, I've given you a few scattered remarks on a man that lived and his soul was vexed because of what he's seen going on around him. I wouldn't blame you sisters at all if some of them gals come to your house skintly clad, the leg can't hardly sit down. Well, I wouldn't blame you at all. You say, ma'am, you can't come in here like that in front of my husband. You'll have to go home and put some clothes on. And the devil just seems to like to try Christians' homes about that stuff. Try to march somebody in bold as a lion right up to your husband. And not enough dress. Somebody said enough clothes to water a shotgun. But there's a few more than that. But I mean that. Do like that mother done down home. She went up to school and said, I don't want my little girl stripped down, kicking her legs out there in that gym with no clothes on, hardly. Well, he said, ma'am, we've never had nobody come up here and tell us nothing like that. We'll check into that and see that your child does not have to take that. It's better to have a Christian school. But if your children is going to a public school, object to some of that stuff. I said to our town board and our school board at Newcastle, you see that car going right there? He's a dope pusher. Yeah, LD, that's right. Little children coming home said, Mama, let's move somewhere else. Daddy, let's move to another place. Let's move to another school. Scared to death they'd be chain whipped by them guys that's pushing that pot up there on the school. I said, what's the matter with you boys? Supposed to represent the school. You're the school board. Why don't you put it in the paper and on the local radio station that we will have a community meeting and what we're going to discuss is running the dope peddlers off the schoolyard and dare them to chain whip you. Put yourself in the place of your children and challenge them. Tell them if they let the sun go down on them, you're coming after them. Be men. Take a chance on getting a whipping yourself for your children's sake. Stirred about it. Are you stirred about the condition of the world tonight? While you stand, I've heard better. You deserve better. But that's the best I got for you right now. Are you going to pray with me, young people? I've asked the young people to come because they are the ones that's more tempted and tried with this stuff than anybody else. They're the ones the old devil's playing for. He's reaching for us. Our young people. Come on, young people. I want you to lead the way to the altar. If somebody has a song in your heart, please sing it. But I want to ask our young people to lead the way to this altar. We're going to pray for our nation, our people, and our problems. We're going to get vexed about this and stand up for God. Let the world know whose side we're on. We're going to let them know. If you're a backslid young person tonight, join these young people that's praying. Come down with them. Get back to God. Get off that old junk. Stop ruining your life and your body. Have a healthy body. Be of good courage. God will help you if you'll let Him tonight. Will you come? All you young people especially, I want you down here praying. You're the one that's going to help us out in our future church. And we appreciate all of our older people, but these are the ones the devil's really playing for. They're the ones he's really pulling for. He's the ones he wants to set them down in front of a television about 4 or 5 hours a day and cram their mind full of every ungodly thing he can get it.